Welcome to True Spirituality Network. We are focused on spreading the gospel of God's love across the world. The Bible says, there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out every fear. As you feed on God's love for you, allow His love to cast out every fear, worry, and anxiety. God loves you.
Today we'll just explore 1 John to understand, what the whole book is about in 1 John. And then with that, then we can answer one other big question in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. People always ask a question in 1 John 1, 9. I'm not going to read it now. Or let me just read it now. Or let me not just read it. Or let me talk about it briefly. So we say a man is forgiven. When is a man forgiven of all his sins? When he believes. According, Peter himself taught us this. Acts 10:43. Whosoever believes receives total forgiveness or receives remission of sins. Paul taught it. In him we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1, Colossians 1. So there are lots of scriptures. Psalm 103, verse 3. He who forgives all my sins. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Unto him who loved us and washed us in his own blood. So he has washed us. God will not wash you. He has washed us. Right? So we received that forgiveness when we put our faith in Jesus. So our message to people is, do you want to be forgiven all your sins right now? Tell me yes, tell me no. I can help you right now. Right. If they say yes, okay, just believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for your sins. When you believe in him that died for your sins and God raised from the dead, all your sins, you receive the forgiveness of this. They say, hey, that is it. You say, yes, that's what I've been telling people. That's why we call it good news. If it doesn't even sound like that, we should question it if it's good news. Kind of a thing, right? It's not that you are saved, but no, you do something like that. You're like, am I really saved? But you are saved. 1 John 5:13 will say, these things I have written to you so that you can know that you are with God. See, you can doubt every other thing in the world, but don't doubt your salvation. Because every other thing about your life hangs on it. It is entirely hangs on it. Yeah. So we rest in what Jesus has done. So 1 John chapter 1. So since we are going to 1 John chapter 1, to fully understand 1 John chapter 1, let's just see 1 John chapter 4 from verse 1. That's why I like physical Bible. All you have to do is just to flip. The way I advocate for physical Bible, people think they are paying me for, but they are not paying me yet. Are we there? 1 John 4. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. You see, one of the conversations I feel like the church shy away from is false prophet conversation. The truth is there are false prophets. That is very scary and sad. That simply means you can't listen to everybody. It's shocking, scary, and sad. So the question is, so who should I listen to? Because I still have to go to church. I still have to listen to the gospel of Christ. But the Bible says there are many false prophets in the world. There are false prophets. I don't want to start a conversation of false prophets because that's not what we're going to talk about today. But according to 1 John 4, what John is trying to bring the people he was writing to the awareness, how can we know these particular people? So let's just keep reading. Verse 2. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming to the world and is already here. So according to 1 John 4, he starts opening our eyes to something called a false prophet. That means it's not everybody that says, I'm a prophet sent to the nation. It's not everybody that says so is a prophet sent to the nation. Or maybe they are sent, but not from God. It's scary, but it's true. But is it making sense so far, right? Okay. Number two. So we can also say, in this context, the false prophet that John was, by the way, lots of scriptures address false prophet, but the one John was tackling and dealing with is the one that denies the deity. No, the incarnation of God. that Jesus, the one that denies that Jesus came in the human body. So because that is antichrist. He will say the spirit of antichrist. You heard this coming already in the world. So anybody that will say, I don't believe Jesus came, that person is against Christ. By the way, since you don't believe in his life, you don't believe in his death, you don't believe in his resurrection. Right? So but that's what it basically means. So if we just settle that, then let's go to 1 John chapter 1. I just need to show you that to understand why John started where he started from. So 1 John 1:1, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our hands. He's the word of life. So what is John trying to do? He's trying to act like a real prophet from God. That makes sense, right? He said, we saw him all. We've seen him. We touched him. That's what he means. So he's bearing witness to the fact that he came in the flesh. Glory to God. Verse 2. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. So all of the manifesto that John was giving, what was the purpose? So that the people he was writing to will share fellowship with, in quote, us. So us, them, in that context, right? So the purpose, the intent of writing, is that we are proclaiming this Jesus that we've seen and touched to you so that you can share fellowship with us. Is it making sense? Okay, still. So we can say, maybe not agree for now, but we can say, so the people he was writing to, the set of people in that context, are the people he's trying to encourage to share fellowship with them. Okay, so we can say the people he was writing to possibly do not currently share fellowship with them. Man of God, right? Let me just see you like this and be sure. Right? I mean, so far, we've not even got... So far, right? We can say that, right? Like, he was proclaiming some set of... He was saying, we have seen him. We have touched him. We're proclaiming to you. Why? So he can share fellowship with us. Who are the us? I think you're talking about the us, by the way. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So share fellowship with us. Our own fellowship is with the Father and Jesus and his Son. So he just testified to the fact that Jesus came in the flesh and that he shared fellowship with Jesus, and is inviting some set of people to also share fellowship with them with the hope that you share fellowship with the Father. Is it making sense? Okay. Verse 4. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. I think another version will say, so that your joy may be full, right? Right? Okay. So verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. By the way, this punchline will help us navigate the book of 1 John. Like this, God is light and in him there's no darkness. This is very important. So John has told us he had a firsthand experience with Jesus. And John says, see, with what we've seen and the message we've had from the beginning, we concluded God is light. There's no darkness in God. Is it making sense? I mean, John can say that because remember there was a time where in Luke 9, Jesus, James, John, and other disciples were trying to enter a particular city, and then they did not allow them to enter the city. And then the Bible says something like, John and James, if I'm right, they will say something like, Jesus, let us call down fire from heaven. The same way Elijah called down fire. And the Bible says, you do not know what spirit you are of. So that validates in a way. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. So the nature of God is light always. Good always. So God is not good on Sunday and maybe cruel on Monday. God doesn't have mood swing. The God that have mood swing is human, right? Human being. It is human. You know, someone says, if you don't praise God, God will not. When you say that about God, you just negated God is light and in him is no darkness. because you're trying to bring God to the realm of the way human thinks. So, in fact, Luke chapter 6 will knock it out. Luke chapter 6, he says something like, God is kind to the unthankful and wicked. Luke chapter 6, verse 35, I believe. So, when the Bible describes God, we are saying he is not maybe good on some days, not good on... God is light. There is no darkness in him. And someone say, God, maybe God brought this thing into my life to teach me a lesson. For you to successfully say that God brought something bad to happen to you to teach you a lesson, you just negated what John just taught us here. John will say God is light. In him, there is no darkness. So if I present the image of a God who is light today, darkness tomorrow, you can ask me, wait, Pastor, which God are you talking about? Is he making sense so far? Yeah. And then you stole something from me, anointed man of God. If I serve God, God will. No. Would you say, which God are you sending on our errand? Someone say, you know, your enemy, you don't have to take them lightly. Some people don't want you to make it in life. You have to kill them before they kill you. We say, wait. Which God will they? They will not say, God, send down fire. Holy Ghost fire. Would you say, which God? Is it making sense? Would you say, which God? So, the God John is, you know, John had firsthand experience with this God, right? And he's saying, he's light. There's no darkness in him. God is love. There's no hatred in him. Later on in 1 John, he said, God is love. So, two major things that I'll talk about, God is, there's a light, love. And John taught those two things. So, I'm saying that to say, so God is not bipolar, he's not schizo. He will not say, you are saved today. Samuel is getting me angry. My son, how can you do that? But when I say, give me my salvation. No, we should say, which God? Is he making sense? This is true. You say, which God? Somebody say, when you get to heaven, you will see everything wrong, everything bad you've done. Would you say, because which God? Because the one the Bible is telling us is just light. In him is no darkness. Is he making sense? So, I'm laying emphasis on this because this will help us navigate what John is teaching throughout the whole book. Okay. If we understand what we teach so far, then let's quickly just solve verse 6. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God. So which God? The God who is light. In him, there is no darkness, right? So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with him, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. So why are we lying? If I say, I have fellowship with God, but my lifestyle is darkness, you will say, you are a liar. Why? Because the God you are saying you have fellowship with is not light and darkness. It's just light. Is it making sense? Someone said, don't provoke the anointing. What would you say? So, because you are portraying, you're not beginning to give us an expression of darkness. So it's not consistent with the nature of the God you are claiming you have fellowship with. Is it making sense? Okay, don't let me give more examples. Because there are a lot of examples to give, right? But look, my point is, so if there are traces of darkness, and someone is saying, I have fellowship with God, the God in this context, the God who is light, in him is no darkness, we should be asking, wait, which God? Someone say, God is a consuming fire. If you hit him, you are gone. If he eats you, you die. Which you say, which God? Is it making sense? Everybody's getting it right. Which God? Because he's just light only. So if I claim I have fellowship with God, and that's what the Bible says, if we say, the people was writing to, if we say, we have fellowship with God, the same God that John had fellowship with. You remember I talked about it. He's trying to invite people to fellowship with them because they have fellowship with Jesus. That means we can say John, to a higher extent, has fellowship with the light and is living in the light. You will agree with that, right? Okay. Because that will help us solve verse 7 and 12. So my point is, so he's trying to just solve the mystery of people claiming to have fellowship with God, but their life is portraying darkness. And we'll see what that darkness and light is later on. Let's go to verse 7. If we are living in the light, as God is in the light, you see, he's comparing us and God now. So our life in the light, as God in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it's almost as if the end result is for us to fellowship, and the reality of the fellowship is we can say the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. Is it making sense so far? Okay. So far, verse 6, verse 7, what is it tackling? He's trying to encourage people who are not living in the light, but they are claiming they are in the light, but their lifestyle is darkness. And he's saying, no, if it is this God, the one we've seen, the one we've had from the beginning, the message is light only. There's no darkness. So assume if my left hand is representing light, my right hand darkness, because I'm holding a black microphone, right? So he's trying to say, if God is light, no darkness. But someone say, I'm light, but they are living in darkness. You say, nope. This is not correlating with the nature of this God. But you say, if you say, I'm in the light, and you are living in the light, they say, yes, we are fellowship with another. And, or I mean, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Up to that point, does it make sense? Okay, let's take a break. The reason I want to take a break from 1 John 1 is because we are going to the bigger part. Let's go to 1 John 2. We'll come back to 1 John 1. 1 John 2. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. Stop. From everything we've been saying, if you are to commit a sin, from everything we've been saying, what will a sin mean? You are living in darkness while you are claiming you are with the light. Does that make sense, everybody? Let's do it again. So if you will miss the mark in 1 John 1 so far from 1 to 8, that we've actually even read, what will be the sin? The sin will be you are claiming you are in the light, but you're exhibiting darkness. Because that is, you are calling God a liar, right? Normal logic, right? Because God is light, in him is no darkness. So if I'm living in darkness and I claim I am in the light, I'm lying. The truth is not in me. So if I'm to commit a sin, so far, what will be the sin? The sin will be, I'm in the light, but I'm living the life of darkness. Do you all agree with that? No, talk. If you don't agree, let's stay here first, though, because we want to push it forward. Should we go back? Should we explain again? Do we understand so far? If we don't understand, let's. Do you understand, Gray? So far? Okay. So light, darkness is what we are contrasting so far. As a chapter one, it's going to change the tone later. It's going to take you to something simpler we can understand. Anyway, but if anyone does sin, I'm back to chapter two. We have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. The one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Verse 3. And we can be sure we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, stop. This is sounding like 1 John 1 again. 1 John 1 will say, if we say we are in the light, but we live in darkness, we say we are a liar and we are not practicing the truth. Now he's saying, if someone claims, I know God. So what will I know God mean? If someone says I'm living in the truth, you know, it's the same writer. We have not gone far, actually. Okay. But doesn't obey God's commandment, that person is a liar and it's not living the truth. Exact terminology in 1 John 1, verse 6. Sounding exactly the same. 1 John 1 seems to say, if we say we are in the light, but we are living in darkness, we are liar and we're not practicing the truth. 1 John 2, 4. The Bible will say, if someone says, I know God, but doesn't obey his commandments, that person is a liar and is not living the truth. Is it making sense so far? Okay. Verse 5. But the one who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So what is he teaching so far? If you say you are in the light, live like those in the light. Please, if you don't understand up to this point, please tell us. It's easy to recap. It's very easy for me. If not, let's push it a step further. Do we understand so far, everything so far? All we said so far is God is light, in him is no darkness. If I say I'm in the light and I'm living in darkness, you should say, no, you are a liar. Because for you to live in darkness, God is not in darkness. So you can't be saying you are in God because he's just light. There's no darkness in him. So we should just be light and live in the light. Don't live in darkness. That's what we are saying so far. Verse 7, dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one that you have heard from the very beginning. This is the old commandment, to love one another. It's the same message you have heard before, yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. for the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already shining. So what is the commandment you will hear so far? What's the commandment in 1 John 2? Love one another, right? Okay, stay with me now. Verse 9. If anyone claims, that punchline again, it's just more of saying or claiming. If anyone claims I am living in the light, is exactly using the terminology of chapter 1 now. So what will it mean to live in the light? To love your brother. Straightforward, actually. But hate a fellow believer. What will it mean to hate a fellow believer now? To walk in darkness. If you don't understand, let's go back. You have to understand this. No, please. We are here in person, right? So should I proceed, man of God? Give me go ahead. If I get this, go ahead. I'm good. I don't get that. So, verse 9 again. If anyone claims I am living in the light, but it's a believer or a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. So what is darkness? Hatred. What is light? Love. So far, 1 John 1 and 2. The same writer is now switching words now. What you just read now, go back to 1 John 1, 8. It will make more sense. If we claim we have no sins, we are only fully ourselves and not living in the truth. Now, by the way, this is where the problem starts. The people he was writing to, where did we start from? He was writing to people who is encouraging to share fellowship with them with the hope they will share fellowship with Jesus, that he has seen firsthand. So that means these people don't have a direct fellowship with Jesus. Okay, so, but the thing is, they are claiming they are also in the light. So these people are claiming they are in the light, but they are in darkness. Let me say, the fruit will not betray. It's just a matter of time, kind of a thing. So it's a lot of hatred. And then it's like, no. You're not even obeying the commandments. If you want to go with normal Jewish commandments, what's the commandment? Jesus will say just to love God and love your neighbor. Even that one, you're not obeying it. If you hate your brother or your sister, you are living in darkness. So what's the solution? You will come to the light. What does coming to light mean? Share fellowship with us. I mean, share fellowship with Jesus. So he's telling these people, if we say we have no sin, what would be that sin? If we say living in darkness is not a sin, stay with me. Is it making sense? What would be sin so far with everything? Say, living in darkness and claiming you're in the light. So if we say that is not a sin, we are only fooling ourselves and we're not living in the truth. Verse 9, the big elephant in the room, we're still going to read it now, but come back with it later. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So far, what will be the sin the people is inviting to share fellowship with him so that they can share fellowship with Jesus? What will be the sin he's telling them to confess? Living in darkness and claiming they're in the light, aka hating their brother and claiming they are in the light. Claiming they love God, but hating their brother. Context, actually, so far. But we just steer that off, for example. Let's go back to 1 John 2. We'll come back to it again, but it's good to just talk about it. So 1 John 2, 9. If anyone claims, I am living in the light. So these professors, people that say they are professing, I'm a child of God, but hate his brother. So he's inviting them, come and share real fellowship with us. Real fellowship will not produce hatred. It will produce love. So he's saying, at 8, verse 10, actually, because of time, person is living in darkness. Verse 10, anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light. You see what he's talking about? So he has explained that whole light thing in chapter 1. It's making sense now in chapter 2. So what does it mean to live in the light? I love my fellow believer. Darkness, I hate my brothers and sisters. What's the encouragement? Leave the realm of hatred. Come into love. AKA, share fellowship with us. Share fellowship with him. So far, making sense, right? Okay. So this is 1 John chapter 2. Okay. Verse 11. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. It can't be more clear than he was in it. So what is walking in darkness? Hatred. What is walking in light? Love. Why was he writing? To encourage some people that were not living it. To come. Share fellowship with them. Start living it. Share fellowship with him. And then you can live in the light as God is in the light, because there's no darkness in God. There's no hatred in God. Somebody say, but the Bible says, is it Jacob I hate? Esau I love. One of you two. Esau I love. Jacob I hate. Right. Right. Man of God. Esau I hate. Jacob I love. Esau I hate. Okay. But the Bible says, okay, come for next on the Jesus. We'll talk about that one. So, but anyone, verse 11, who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. So chapter 1 and chapter 2, so far, you now understand light, love, darkness, hatred. God is light. There's no darkness in him. God is love. There's no hatred in him. God doesn't hate your sibling. God doesn't hate your parents. God doesn't hate your ex. God loves everybody, right? You know, at times, like, because you don't like somebody, you expect God not to like the person. Well, it doesn't work like that, right? God loves us. God is love. Later on in teaching, what he's teaching now, he had to say God is love. So that's chapter 2. Okay, because of time, I'm just trying to establish the same thing. Just come to chapter 3. Chapter 3. First John chapter 3, because of time, just jump to verse 11. I'm just showing us from each chapter now the same thing I'm trying to establish. John teaching the same thing because of time. First John chapter 3, verse 11. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. What's the message? We should love one another. Verse 12. We must not be like Cain. So who is Cain? Somebody walking in darkness. You'll agree with that? Straightforward. So somebody walking in darkness, somebody who hates his brother, guess what? He claims he's walking in the light. So God will tell Cain, if you did well, or if you have done well, would you not be accepted? So what would God be inferring? If you have loved your brother, should we go and check it? You could check it. That's what it means. I mean, we'll check it. Let me just finish what I mean. Let's check it. But let me read verse 11 and 12. So verse 12, we must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So what is evil in that context? Darkness, aka hatred. What is walking in light? What is Abel's work that is righteous in that context of what we've been saying so far? Walking in light and loving one. Okay. But that's what he says. He said, love one another. Not as Cain. That's what King James would say. That. Not as Cain. Let's go to Genesis 4. Genesis 4. So just go and see that story now. So that story will make much more sense now when we read Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Are we there? Genesis chapter 4. Okay, and we're going to start reading from verse 4. Abel, okay, verse 3. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crop as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portion of the firstborn lamb from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Verse 6, why are you angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? Verse 7, you will be accepted if you do what is right. So what is right in that context? Walking in the light, walking in love, right? So what did Abel do? He did what is right. What did Cain not do? He did not do what is right. How did John explain it? He did not walk in love. What did Abel do? He walked in love. Okay, but stay with me. See how God helped Cain. Since Cain is no longer walking in love, see what's going to happen. So the Bible says in verse 7, you'll be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, so what will it mean to refuse to do what is right? If you refuse to walk in the light, if you refuse to love your brother, do you agree with me? Okay. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and beat master. So if I have a threat towards man of God now, Pastor Emmanuel now, and I don't do what is right. What is right? And I don't love him. Sin is crouching at the door. What will my hatred produce? Every manner of evil thing, including thoughts of murder. And that's what happened to Cain. And God will just tell Cain, I see, if you don't do what is right, you think it's normal anger, hatred, what's going to take over? Okay. That's what is the object. Let's keep reading actually. But you must subdue it and beat master. One day, so how are we going to know that Cain did not hear what God said? One day, verse 8, Cain suggested to his brother, let's go into the field. And while they're in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So Cain walked in darkness, stayed in darkness, rejected the message of God to come into light so as to love his brother. And then he produced murder. He killed his brother. So 1 John chapter 3 back now. So we must love one another, not as Cain. You know how it all started for Cain as well. So not as Cain. This message you have heard from the beginning, we should love another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil. So what is it that is evil that he's been doing? Walking in darkness, eating his brother. And his brother was doing what was righteous. What was his brother doing? Loving. They are the only two people that said, one love A, the other one hate. But that makes sense, Uber, right? So what John has been saying from chapter one is getting clearer now. He will use light and darkness in chapter one. He will use love and hatred in chapter two. He will use Cain and Abel, evil and right. What is right? What is evil? But he's saying the same thing. The goal is for the man who is not walking in the light, who doesn't love his brother, to hear that message, and just come and say, I want to walk in the light. I want to share fellowship with you. And I want to share fellowship with Jesus. So when the man shares fellowship with Jesus, then he can love the fellow brothers and sisters. Making sense so far? Okay, let's keep reading then. Verse 13. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our brothers, I mean, verse 14 now, brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. So by the way, that punchline proved that you are passed from death to life. John, the same writer of John, taught us in John 5:24, when we were reading earlier, that when a man believes in Jesus, that man has passed from death to life. So he's saying it proves that if I look at Pastor Emmanuel now and the way he loves, I can see that man is a believer. That's what John is teaching actually. Is coming from the perspective more of our actions, or the result of your faith, living out that which you received, aka working out your salvation. For it is God that has worked in you to do and to will, or will and to do of his own good pleasure. Is it making sense so far? We are joining everything together now. Okay. But a person who has no love is dead. Verse 15. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. That is a scary, profound statement. Nobody wakes up instead of murdering somebody else. Nobody. Most why. Except the person really. But, you know, you will be shocked the thoughts that will run through your mind when hatred is in your heart. You'll be shocked at somebody just did something to you and you are really, and you don't eventually do what is right. No God will tell Cain, do what is right, or hell, sin is lying by the door. Right? Your emotions will make you feel a particular way when people hurt you, so to say. But my point is, at the end of the day, we still do what is right. We still love. That's what I'm just trying to say. So, but this guy is trying to teach us now and say, wait, anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer already in the heart. That's what John is teaching. So when he says something like, so it's consistent. What he's teaching is consistent. He's writing to some set of people and say, love people, don't be like Cain. So he's writing to these people to come into fellowship with them. That means to choose love the way they've chosen love, because what they've learned and experienced from Jesus is love, light. There's no darkness in it. John, 1 John 1:5. So just remember where we started from. Okay, 15 towards the end. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. Verse 16. we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So you see, I love the way he's teaching now. So we, that means we in the light, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So somebody demonstrated that love for us. His name is Jesus. So we can see how he loved us and we can love one another from that. I think it's making sense, right? Okay. So we also ought to give up our lives to our brothers and sisters. So the same way Jesus was self-sacrificial, or the way he submitted, the way he gave up himself for us, we serve one another selflessly. That's what he's teaching. Verse 17, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? The way NLT is writing this thing is fun. He's trying to say, practically speaking, if I feel as if someone has a need and I feel as if I have a lot of money and I'm not showing love, then what kind of God's love? Because God loves me so much. Well, I gotta leave it. So it's more of encouraging the believer to live the life of love. Does that make sense? That's a good thing to say, right? It's encouraging the one who has been loved to love. The same way Paul will teach a lot, he will teach the one that has been forgiven of all their sins to forgive. Right? So we forgive people today because our sins are forgiven. Is it making sense? But they have not apologized, right? Did God wait for us to apologize before sending Jesus? We just put it in perspective, right? So, but nobody can beg me. We will say, wait. You are showing stuff of darkness. Let's checkmate it now. If you do well, will you not be accepted? You remember that came conversation and God, right? So God wants us to do well. God wants us to live in love because he has shown us his love. This is why we talk a lot about God's love for us. That's why I'm saying the moment you are not sure of your salvation, the moment you doubt your forgiveness, the moment you doubt God loves you, the person that will suffer for it the most are the people around you. Your relationship will suffer for it a lot. A lot. Is it making sense, right? A lot. You can't give what you don't have. So we are here having unbelieving Jesus teaching meeting. We're saying God loves you, all your sins are forgiven. Lots of people out there don't know, right? But when we go out there, we have to walk in the light. We have to walk in love. Right? That is how they will see and say, Jesus will actually say something like, Jesus will say a punchline and say, by this, men will know that you are my disciple when you love one another. Go and tell an unbeliever, I'm justified, certified. They say, so what does that mean? They don't. They want to see the way you love them. They want to see. The people in your workplace, they don't know you are justified, certified, purified. They don't know. But they want to watch you the way you love. They want to watch how you undo, even when they gang up against you, when they are racist towards you. They want to see how you respond. They want to see. So, but we can still do what is right. Why? We have experienced what is right. We can live in the light. Why? We have experienced the light himself. We can love one another. Why? Because we have experienced God's unconditional love. What's the excuse that you keep in mind to always forgive people? I have been forgiven. My God. What excuse should I always give myself to love people, even if they are difficult to be loved? I've been loved by God. I've experienced God's love. So I give God's love. Is it making sense, right? That's how it works, actually. Ah, Pastor, you don't understand. They've not hurt you before. Well, they've hurt me. Oh, my God. But I do what is right. If you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Remember King conversation? Yeah, we got to do what is right. Or it will make who we are not out of us. So we do what is right, which is love. How about I suffered? Long suffering is part of you. Jesus suffered for us. Like the first time I watched Passion of Christ, I always fumble a lot that there's no movie I can watch that I will cry. I'm strong-headed. You don't know me. Because my sister is our exact opposite. My sister sees any movie, she's crying. Any movie, she just cry. They show the title of the movie, she's crying. They just written by most people cry. So I always do the exact opposite. I'm like, there's no movie, because we always make jest of her. So you must never let her catch you. I watched Passion of Christ for the first time. I cried. I felt bad for Jesus. But I didn't understand the gospel then. First, I'm like, oh, poor Jesus. Later, when I understood the gospel, I'm like, every single thing he ever went through, he went through it for me. He suffered. He took the pain. He took it for you. When I see that length, it will go for me. By his grace, I want to do this. I want to go that. I want to love by His grace. I just, that's the kind of thing John was teaching. We live in the light. Is it making sense? Yeah, we live in the light. Because we can't say we're in the light. Imagine you hear pastor of a church asking you which church member. You should say, which God are you representing? Because the God we know is just light. There's no darkness in it. It's just love. There's no hatred. Is it making sense, Opa? Let me carry on action movie. The average movie, action movie is the villain, the bad guy, kill somebody in the family of the good guy, the hero, and then the hero now go and learn Kung Fu so that he can do revenge. Usually like that. Or he's an ex-military. He's already retired. He wasn't planning to fight again, but they just kill his family. So he now to go. That's the average. So do me, I do you. That's the average action movie. Saul or Paul killed a lot of Christians already, including Stephen. Now he went to go and get a direct certificate to just keep killing as he likes. But because they were having services then from house to house, so the Bible said he was going from house to house. In fact, it was so bad, people had to start leaving. You know, someone said, I can't leave my country. They left everything, they just went under place. Jesus was not going to meet that Saul for the first time. Normal encounter, practical encounter. Paul will say, who are you, Lord? Guess what Jesus will say? I am Jesus, the one you persecute. If it's not a Bible that you don't know the end of the story, what do you think Paul deserved in that moment? Death. What did Jesus give? In fact, opportunity to preach the same gospel, he killed me. When I read story like that, he just knocks out my idea of what I think love is. But I'm like, which kind? Because you would think you love is all love. You see, you can still love someone like this. Just not say you have killed my people. I am the one you've been persecuting. I just want to love on you and give you ministry. Wait, Jesus, you haven't talked. You don't know him. You just say, Jesus, you don't know this guy. You want to commission this guy. Or let's say, for example, backtrack Peter. Let's say you have a best friend and the best friend will betray you, not once. Don't say, once beaten, twice shy. So twice. 3 times. When Jesus resurrected, the Bible says he appeared to his disciples and Peter. Actually, if you now want to hand over your will, your ministry, you now hand it over to the betrayer 3 days ago. when I get on like that, he knocks out all light. I'm like, what kind of? Because you're like, yeah? Points, yeah, okay. I know to forgive is easy, but to forget, Jesus did not. Will he say he did not? Will he say he forgot? No, he remembered. But there's a love that sees people beyond their weakness, beyond their performance. I'm saying all of this to say that's the love we received from God. So, in our capacity, to the best of our God will help us, we can give that kind of love. We don't often hear this kind of love preached. Sorry, we don't often hear it. It's always a do me and do. Somebody spoke bad about me on social media. Me too. I want to go and say that to statistically. We just like, there's, and it's the way humans are. We want to just give people what, at times to justify the hurt you're feeling. You want to hurt someone too. At times it works like that. But I'm just trying to say, we can do right. We can do what is right. God will say, Cain, if you did what is right, we can choose what is right. Or else, sin is crouching at the door. You must be his master, or else it will overtake you. Is it making sense? We don't want to lose twice. You don't want to be hurt, and then you still let that hurt produce something else out of you. You lose twice. Right. You don't want to stay hot, and the person you are angry about is sleeping and waking up. So I say, if you know what my ex has done for me, see, your ex has moved on. You understand what I mean, right? So you just have to. You can do what is right. That is what John is preaching. Is it making sense? I'm just saying that, you see. We can love one another. You don't even have to agree with everything I say, right? There are a lot of people that don't even agree with what I teach in terms of the gospel, but love, I can still love people. We don't necessarily have to. Because I don't believe all my sins are forgiven. I still love you. When we get to heaven, we're going to be... I can still love you. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Right? It won't make me or you our enemy. You can say something that is not spiritual. I can have issues with what you said, but you as a person, I will love you. Because if I don't love you, and I say I have fellowship with God, you should say which God. Is it making sense? You're not good. Making sense, right? Okay. Let me check the time. The way I'm preaching. Thank you. We got to go. Okay, let's wrap it up. 1 John chapter 4. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Let's just quickly wrap it up now. And this one of a few times in the world that I've preached so much I lost track of the time. 1 John chapter 4. Are we there? Okay, let's do verse 7 now. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is. So anyone who is in darkness and claims to be in light is a liar. Anyone who say, I love God, I love you, Jesus, but hate, the Bible says, the God is love. So if it's not love, we are sin. We say that thing you just, that action itself is not from God. Let's checkmate it straight. Is it making sense? Yeah, that's what he's teaching. It's consistent. Actually, chapter 1, actually, chapter 2, actually, chapter 3, actually, chapter 4. I'm in chapter 4 now. The Bible says, verse 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. Right? So we are seeing what God's love is. He came through Jesus. Verse 10, we say, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. So the real love is God's love that we receive and then we can share it towards one another. So if I claim I have experienced God's love, you should see it in my actions. You see, we are holding ourselves accountable. Someone says, well, you say people are forever forgiven. I see that whatever they do, don't know. We are holding ourselves accountable now, right? We preach unconditional love, right? So who should love the most? We. Okay. Anyway, verse 11. Dear friends, since God has loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Because of time. Okay, verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. So he's just trying to say that the fruit of you claiming to be God has to be love. He's checkmating every form of, yeah. Because of time, I'm trying to just wrap this up. Verse 19, we love each other because he loved us first. Verse 20, if someone says, I love God, but hate a fellow believer, that person is a liar. It's using that same terminology again. If you say, but you are not living it. For if you don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believer. So what is he teaching? What summary of 1 John so far, what is he saying? If you say you are in the light, live like those in the light. If you say you understand the love of God, live like it. If you say you this, live like it. He's just saying, if you say, so he's just encouraging people to live like they are claiming, kind of a thing. So don't say you are this and you are living like this, kind of. I think that's what he's teaching. Chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. Verse 2, and I'll wrap up. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. So what's his commandment? Love one another. So because of time, that big 1 John 1:9 now. So far, with everything he's been saying, if you are to commit a sin so far, what would be the sin? I will be claiming I'm in the light, I'm walking in darkness. So 1 John 1:9 again, if we claim we have no sin, sorry, verse 9, if we confess our sins to him, what would be the sins he's saying if you confess to him, you walking in darkness. That's actually the context. It can't be more clear. Someone not loving who is 18 and he's saying, I'm in the light. John is saying something is wrong. Something is wrong because this God is only light. There's no darkness in him. Is it making sense? I think we've done justice to it, right? So what he's not saying is that before God can forgive you, you have to confess first. He's not saying that. Is it making sense? He's not saying that. Sadly, over the years, that's what people have turned this badge to me. But that's not what he's saying. Because we did not take it as a solution. We had to read chapter 1 to chapter 5 to see consistency. If you commit a sin according to 1 John 1, what would be the sin? Not loving, walking in that. One last scripture. 1 John 5. There's a scripture over the years that has caused a lot of controversy too. Let's just check it. 1 John 5. Verse 16. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death, and I am not saying you should pray for those who commit it. All wicked actions are sins, but not every sin leads to death. Question. You should be able to answer this question. What is the sin that leads to death? Anybody just want to take a guess? No, in context, though. In context. This is just a normal context. We've been doing from chapter one. We've been saying, so walking in darkness, a dread, not doing what is right, even when you are 18, after you've been told. So it will produce the result of Cain in 1 John chapter 3. That was the sin that led Cain to kill Abel, the sin that led to death. Is it making sense? You know, we are just trying to stay within the, we are using John to interpret John. So far, which sin has led to death? Cain, killing Abel. So what's that saying? Walking in darkness, aka hatred, aka not doing what is right, not using law. Aka, so he was talking about if anybody walks in darkness, the person is a murderer at heart. So there's a particular sin that in quote leads to death. He will say all wickedness, lying, and so on are sins, but there's one sin that leads to death. Hatred, walking in darkness, could lead to death. Is it making sense so far? I mean, I just need to show you that. But having said all, what we're trying to say so far is John chapter 3, we started from John 3, story of Nicodemus, a man that doesn't understand the doctrine of salvation, but he understands that Jesus has power. So we took our time to understand a man born again is not saying what Jesus cannot do does not exist. That is not what saves a man, right? There's a message a man must hear to be saved. What's that message? Jesus died for your sins. He was buried. And God raised him from the dead. And then went to John 3:16. Whosoever believes have eternal life. John 5:24. Whosoever believes have passed from death to life. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Whosoever believes will receive forgiveness of sins. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Whosoever believes have redemption. I mean the forgiveness of sins. So to say I have redemption or I've been redeemed, you are saying I have been forgiven of all my sins. Colossians chapter 2 says the same thing. We have redemption or forgiveness of our sins. Colossians chapter 3 says the same thing. Revelations 1:5 says the same thing. Psalm 103 says the same thing. And then with that knowledge now, we went to some scriptures over the years that have been misinterpreted. When you preach the gospel radically, when you tell people how loved they are, how forgiven they are by God, there are some scriptures people bring up. Scriptures like Philippians chapter 2. So what about Philippians chapter 2 that say, work out your salvation? So we took our time to explain what it means, the practicality of it. We use scriptures to explain scriptures. And then from there, we jump to Romans. When Paul was preaching the gospel to a point, people now say, wait. Are you now saying we can do whatever we like and just say, sin to grace to abound? Verse 2, we say, certainly not. How can we die to sin? So is the believer the one that is dead to sin? Right? So we need to acknowledge. Verse 7 says, so reckon yourself or acknowledge or agree. Then from there, we now came to the big 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. But we did not just jump into 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We started from chapter 1. What is John really writing about? We scroll through to verse chapter 5. So in chapter 1, he talks about light and darkness. Chapter 2, he talks about love and hatred. Chapter 3, he talks about Cain and Abel. Chapter 4, he talks about don't say you love God and you are not. Even like in chapter 5, he encourages. So if you have to commit a sin so far, look everything you have said, what will be the sin? Claiming you are in the light, but walking in darkness. Claiming you love God, but you hate your brother. How would God want you to love him? You will love your brother. How would God want me? If I say, God, I love you so much, there can be a lot of songs about me loving God. But God will prepare me to love you and you, not for me to sing it to him. God will prepare me to sing it to you to be sure that our relationship is restored, not for me to sing it to him. Because me doing it to you is proving that I'm in the light. Is it making sense? That's what I've been saying so far. And I think it's a good place to wrap it up. Right. Father, we thank you. Thank you because your word is life. And we are grateful to be able to remind ourselves about the truth of the gospel. And more importantly, how it plays a huge role in our day-to-day life. how we can do what is right in a world that is not used to doing what is right. How we can choose love, we can walk in the light, we can love one another as a proof that we have experienced your love and your forgiveness. And Lord, we trust you for supernatural strength to live this very easily, to just do what is right always, to love our brothers always, and to also preach this gospel always, to let the world know that there's forgiveness of sins through Christ Jesus for anyone who believes. And we'll preach this gospel radically. We say no to any form of intimidation. The gospel of Christ prevails in this land, in Winnipeg, and in Canada at large, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And let us people say, amen. Awesome. So,
the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And what I'm doing right now, I'm beginning to speak to you in Psalms, because Ephesians chapter 5 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God in your heart. And I just want you to know, just like God says in Psalm 23, that he is your shepherd and he's always with you, even when you don't feel it. So you have all that you need. You may not see because your sight is limited, but if you focus on this word, you realize you have all that you need. Long before you were born, his supply is far greater than whatever you ever need on earth. If he could give you Jesus, he will give you every other thing you would ever need. Long before you get to that season, he has made provisions available for you. And he wants you to know this. Don't focus on your bank account to define who you are. If he could give you Jesus, he will give you everything. God giving us Jesus is the proof that he has done for you much more than he will ever do for you. He has given you much more than you ever need. So just focus on him, because you have all that you need. And he has made you to lie down in greener pastures, in green pastures. And when he wants you to lie down, he wants you to rest and not stress, because he is always working. Most times you don't feel it, so you get worried, you get anxious. But he says in his word that he has made you to lie down. And if he has made you to lie down, then rest. Stop trying to figure out things on your own. Just allow God to do the things he's doing in your life. And he leads you beside the still water, where everything is cool, calm, and collected. He restores your soul. If your heart is troubled before you came here, the Lord has restored your soul in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. And though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you don't have to be afraid, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Glory to God. Oh, manakai, eluatai. And surely God's goodness, God's favor, God's unfailing love is what is running after you. Village people are not chasing you. It's the goodness of God that is hunting you down. It is pursuing you all the days of your life, and you rest in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, we invite you to partner with us to send the gospel of God's love to all nations. Send us an email on truespiritualitynetwork@gmail.com. You can also follow us on all social media platforms, True Spirituality Network on both Facebook and Instagram, T-Spirituality on Telegram, and Akimika on YouTube. So catch up with all our podcasts, search for Akimika on all major platforms, including Spotify, AudioMark, and Anchor. As you feed on God's love for you, allow his love to cast out every fear. And remember, it's not about you, it's all about Jesus.